Good afternoon, everybody. So one of the requested topics before we start getting into Pesach topics, which I would imagine will start tomorrow, but one of the requested topics that we had was about making origami on Shabbos. Now, if I understand correctly, that means folding papers to make interesting shapes and interesting things. And really, you don't have to be so fancy. You could talk about making paper airplanes on Shabbos and whether that is permissible or not. So there are a number of issues that that come up when it comes to these types of issues. First thing is muktzah. Is a piece of paper considered muktzah? Primarily what you do with a piece of paper is that you print something on a piece of paper or you write something on a piece of paper, and those things are usher to do on Shabbos. The Mishmur and Siman Shin Ches Sivkat and Gimel writes that blank paper is muktzah machmas chisron kis, because you would never waste it, you would never use it for something else, you save it to be able to write things on. So Rav Moshe, Nigus Moshe, Chilgal, Simenayin Beis writes that this even still applies nowadays, because no sensible person would take a blank piece of paper that's usable for writing and just use it for something else. If you look in the Sefer Halachos of Muktzah, Rabbi Simcha Ben Kohn, on page 84, quotes from Moshe saying that even paper that one is not concerned about wasting is still muktzah machmas gufo, because it has no purpose. It's just a thing that's there that has no purpose. It's like a rock. It's like a piece of dirt. However, if Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in Ma'or HaShabbos says that a single piece of paper is not muktzah, because people are not concerned about using it to clean something up. If, let's say, you don't have a dustpan and you need to sweep something onto, so you just need a flat surface, so people will use a piece of paper for something like that. The Shmir Shabbos Gil Chasab Perachav Osiutes writes that only expensive stationery is muktzah machmas chisron kis, but regular paper is considered klisha melachto le'isr. So you're going to tell me, oh, klisha melachto le'isr, that sounds kind of muktzah, but we know that a klisha melachto le'isr is mutter le'tzorach gufo le'tzorach mekomo. You're allowed to be metaltel it if it's a tzorach gufo. So if you want to use it to make an airplane or to make origami from a muktzah perspective, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it is not a violation of muktzah. It's a klisha melachto le'isr that you're allowed to use l'tzorach gufo. Even so, generally speaking, we try not to move a klisha melachto le'isr if you have an option not to. So you're pumped on Shabbos, going to decide that you want to do origami. Okay, so I guess you can argue from a muktzah perspective that would be okay. And indeed, the Shevet HaLevi in Chelek Tes Simenayin Ches and the Chazon Ovadia in the third volume on Shabbos agree from a muktzah perspective. However, muktzah is not the only issue to deal with. There is a malacha, a lesser known malacha, there are 39 malachas, but some of them are very well known, some of them not so known, called misartet. In the Mishkan, the hides had to be cut to measured sizes, so they had to make lines on which to cut the hides to help in cutting accurately. It normally applies to making lines for cutting or breaking something down, right? That's normally where misartet comes in, but we're familiar with the term sirtut. Sirtut is a concept that we use in Hilchos Safrus when you write a Sefer Torah. So there's a sirtut, there's a line that's etched in the parchment that allows you to know exactly where to place the letters, and it sort of helps guide you. Sometimes you see when people write on the unlined paper, so like the handwriting goes like it starts taking a dive toward the end of the page. So sirtut sort of helps guide you, like lines would guide you on a piece of paper. So when it comes to misartet on Shabbos, it normally applies to making lines for cutting or breaking something down. But the Mishabur and Shin Mem Sivkat Chav Beis quotes from the Rambam that a misartet kidei lichtov shnei osios tachas oso sirtut chayiv, that it's even considered sirtut and a violation of misartet if you are misartet in order to write, not in order to cut, not in order to slice, but in order to write. Meaning, if you're doing something to guide you in a further activity, you're making an etching or a scratching or an indentation in order to guide you in a further activity, that might be a malacha of misartet. So if you make a line with no intention to use it as a guide for anything, for cutting or writing or anything else, then it's not a malacha at all. Meaning over here, you know, sometimes you say that if you don't have kavana at all, you say, okay, so it's a davar shenu miskaven, it's a machlokas, davar shenu miskaven mutter or aser, machlokas tanaim, and we paskin mutter, but if it's a psik reshe, it's going to be aser. Over here, if you have no kavana lasartet, if you have no kavana to make that etching for any useful reason, it's not even a shem malacha. It's not called that you're doing sirtut with psik reshe, you know, davar shenu miskaven psik reshe. It's not a shem malacha. The definition of the malacha of misartet is that you're making an indentation or a line to then allow that line to guide you in your next step. So the kavan is part of the definition of the malacha. We wouldn't call it a davar shenu miskaven b'psik reshe. That's why the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem Sif Hei says that mutter lirshom b'tziporen ala sefer, that you could, without any concern for misartet, if you want to mark off a spot on a page where you saw something interesting, you could scratch with your fingernail onto the page and it will leave a small mark. Even then, the Shulchan Aruch says if it's a permanent mark, it would be aser, but that's a midin kosef. But at least as a temporary mark, you would be allowed to do that. That is not a violation of misartet because it's not there to guide you to do anything further around the area of that mark. It's just marking off a particular spot. So if you fold a piece of paper or you fold a napkin to make a shape of a hat or a boat or whatever people fold napkins into, I don't know what, when you go to a wedding and the napkin is folded up in a thing, I don't know what it's supposed to be, whether it's supposed to be a boat or a hat or something. I never put it on my head to see how it looks. I don't know. But it's certainly made dafka on that, you know, on purpose in that shape. That might be bona, but it would probably not be mesartet. Similarly, folding a corner of a page to save your place in a book or a sefer would not be mesartet, and even if it were, it would be psik reshe d'lo nichale, but it's not, because that's not at all your kavana. Even though when you fold over a page, it's going to leave a mark, even when you unfold it, it's going to leave a mark there, but that's not a violation of mesartet. It would turn out, l'chora, that if the folds were there to guide you in the construction of your creation, of your origami creation, or your paper airplane, and it's not just that you're folding because you're trying to make the shape the way it is, but you use those folds as a guide, which I'm not an origami person nor a paper airplane person, at least not since the third grade, so I'm not really sure whether those folds are really there to guide you. But if that's the case, it might be a shail of mesarte, but probably there's another issue, and that is the malacha of bona. When one is medabik chalakim, to put something together, even without a CSOL, that's a violation of the malacha of bona. However, there is a principle of ein binyan bekelim. Rashi holds that there's never binyan bekelim. Most Rishonim hold that there are certain circumstances where there is binyan bekelim. For example, Shita Satosos is that bona applies to any solid and complete structure, even on a small kli. It does have to form a solid entity and be complete. Modifying a flimsy kli would not be bona on a daraisa level. The Ramban, however, says that only if you're medabek chalakim, if you take different pieces and put them together, only then is it bona. Nafkamina would be whether opening a bottle is a violation of bona. It's a solid functioning kli, but you're not being medabek chalakim when you twist off the cap of a bottle. It would seem that a paper airplane fits nobody's definition of bona, meaning it does not seem that it's a violation of bona. It's not even a kli. And even if it were, you're not being medabek chalakim. It has no a sense of permanence. It's very, very flimsy. So it would seem that it's not bona. Where I think we run into the biggest challenge is the malacha of makah bepatish. In Shmir Shabbos Kilchasar, Shom Zalman Arbach Paskins, that you're not allowed to make paper airplanes, boats, hats, etc. out of folded paper or folded or even to fold napkins into intricate patterns. You could fold a napkin in half or a triangle or something like that, because it doesn't really create anything functional, it just folds it. But if you're going to try to make some sort of intricate pattern, that might be a violation of the malacha of makah bepatish. So Shom Zalman Arbach Paskins, even paper airplanes, I would think, kal v'chomer when it comes to origami. So to summarize, when it comes to the shaila of muktzah, machlokas. A piece of paper might be muktzah to the extent that it's muktzah machmas ches from kis, and therefore you're not even allowed to be metal to the tzaruch gufo. That's the shita of Rav Moshe Feinstein. 16, and what sounds like the Mishnah Berurah. Shlom Zalman Arbach and Chaznish, I mean Chazan Avadya rather, Ravadi Yosef, disagree and say that no, it's a Kalisha Menachta Lisra, so it would not be a Muktzah problem. Misartet may be a problem in making these creations. It may in fact be a Malacha of Misartet. Bona, probably not a problem. Makavipatish, probably yes, a problem. So at the end of the day, should one be making origami or paper airplanes on Shabbos? So I think the inescapable conclusion is that the answer is no, that you should not be doing this on Shabbos. We have to come up with other recreational activities to do on Shabbos. Everyone have a wonderful day.